Hi, everybody. I'm Sam, and this is My Sister's Diary. Welcome, everybody, to My Sister's Diary. I'm your host, Sam, and I am so excited for this. I just wanted to talk really quick about the elephant in the room. A lot of you are probably coming from the podcast I had previously with my sister, Call Your Sisters. And thank you for being here, first of all. But I did want to say there, a lot of people have been asking kind of what happened with that. And I just want to say there's really no like tea or anything bad that happened. Like we didn't get in a fight, nothing like that happened. It just stopped working logistically. So I had a baby and Kate moved like 4 hours away from where I was and I have all the podcast stuff. So just like imagine a newborn, and I mean, Kate has a busy work schedule when she's working in the summer, and it was hard for me to, I mean, I didn't obviously, but it would have been really hard to pack up all of the podcast equipment and go 4 hours away with a newborn and all of that. And it was hard for Kate to find time off work where it worked, and it just stopped working logistically. And then I think our hearts kind of fell out of it. And so we didn't want to keep doing something that we were only half into anymore. So we just called it quits. But it is something that I wanted to keep doing. Like I'm still really interested in podcasting and I really like doing that. So that's why I kind of, I planned the whole time. Like when we were talking about whether or not we should stop the Call Your Sisters, I always knew in my mind, like if we stop doing this, I'm going to do something. But it just took me a long time to actually get things going. I had a baby in June of last year, June 2024, and it's taken me this long. It's now January 2025 to really get an episode out, to get all the stuff behind it. I really wanted to be, not that we didn't put a lot of thought into Call Your Sisters before we started it, but I did a lot more back work for this and getting things set up and ready to go. I still feel unprepared, and I don't know that I'll be any better at doing this the second time around, but hopefully I will. And I'll be more on top of posting on Instagram and staying connected with you guys on socials. So that being said, thank you guys so much. If you are coming from Call Your Sisters, thank you for giving me a chance. You know, this is really hard to go from like hosting a podcast with a co-host and having someone to bounce things off of to, I'm literally staring at a wall right now because of the way I have my mic set up. I need to fix it. But I'm literally, there's a wall probably 8 inches from my face. That's hard to go from staring at someone, not staring, but being with someone kind of, you know, we rev each other up. We bounce off of each other and it's fun. So that's hard to do when I'm by myself. There's a lot of awkward pauses, a lot of ums that I'm going to have to edit out and stuff like that. So thank you for being brave and putting me in your ear holes today. I appreciate it. So let's talk really quick about the name of the podcast. So like I said, I had a podcast named Call Your Sisters, and you guys are probably like, oh, well, you're just trying to do the same thing, but you can't say sisters, whatever. No, if I was doing that, I would have just changed it to Call Your Sister. Like I kind of wanted to go in a different, not really different direction. It'll be really similar to Call Your Sisters, but obviously with only one of me. I wanted to keep the sisterhood because that part of the podcast was important to me in my everyday life. Like sisterhood is important to me. My real sisters, my biological sisters, and then my friends that feel like sisters right now or in the past, or even cousins that really feel like sisters and that kind of thing. So that's why I'm sticking with the sister theme. And then the diary part of that is I wanted this podcast to feel like fun and exciting, and I like hearing about people's lives. So I was thinking about like, what's that feeling, you know, and that feeling really is when you're reading your sister's diary, you have like an adrenaline rush almost, you know, and like you're hearing all this juicy information and all these things, and it's just fun. And so, I mean, it's not good. I don't condone reading other people's diaries, but what I'm going at is it's going to be fun. It's going to be exciting. It's going to be learning things about people, all that kind of stuff. It'll feel like you're reading your sister's diary. Not to be so on the nose, but that's really what the vibe is I'm going for. So Most of the time, it'll probably be me dumping what I probably should talk about in therapy to you guys. I will also talk about it in therapy, but you get a little extra of that. So you're welcome. Okay, let's introduce the topic for today, which is Dear Diary. So I asked my Instagram followers, the couple that I have, to submit a Dear Diary entry. So it's basically what you would write in your diary, you know? So like today I did something really embarrassing, or this isn't this, or ranting about something, or just a secret you need to confess, something like that. And you guys really delivered. I was shocked at how many entries I got, and I actually don't even think I will have time to read all of them. So if I don't read yours today, I will probably, I mean, I hopefully get to it in another episode of Dear Diary. So don't be bummed if it's not in today's episode. I will most likely have it in another episode. So thank you guys for writing in. It really, honestly, I couldn't do this without you. I'd have to make stuff up and you guys would know it's made up. So that wouldn't be any fun for anyone. Before we do that, I want to start off, and I'm probably going to do this every episode. I'll start off with a diary dump. I can't think of a better word for it. I may change it later. But basically, I'm just going to tell you like life updates or things that I need to rant about. It can be literally anything, basically just me yapping. So let's do that. Today, I'm going to tell you my hairdresser retired. And if you're listening, Mandy, I needed one more appointment with you. Not really, but I will miss you so much. If you're not listening, obviously you're not going to hear this, but to anybody else listening, when your hair girl, hair lady, whoever retires or moves away, it is devastating, right? Especially my hair is like my security blanket, and I am a perfectionist when it comes to my hair color. Not necessarily my hair. I usually have kind of like messier hair. That's just my hair texture, and so that doesn't bother me. The perfectionist part is the color. Like I am really weird about the hair color, and I think it's because when I was in high school, I would just like dye my own hair and it always looked like crap and nobody told me. So I know those people who told me my hair looked good, you're on a list that I have. Just so you know. But anyway, so this weekend, Kate came up to my house. Kate's my younger sister who did Call Your Sisters with me. And she came up to my house and we had previously cap highlighted her hair at one point and it went absolutely horrible. We ended up basically just bleaching her whole head of hair and it kind of turned orange. If you want to see it, go to Call Your Sisters TikTok, like our TikTok page, and you scroll down a little bit and there's a video of what we did to her hair. And it was atrocious, but we learned some lessons. Okay. So she's like, will you dye my hair when I'm here? And she wanted me to dye it darker. And I was like, let's try the cap highlights again. And it took some convincing, but I convinced her. I was like, let's just do it. Last time we went to Sally's and we bought our own cap and we bought our own bleach and we bought our own toner and we didn't know what we were doing. So this time we went to Walmart. I know that sounds bad, but we went to Walmart. We got like a cap highlighting kit. It's like Frost something by, I think it's L'Oreal. I'm pretty sure it's L'Oreal. And we did that kit to her hair. And so we pre-poked the holes, which I think was a time saver, but I also worried that maybe we poked them a little bit too big. Like there were some spots where there might've been a little bleeder. I don't even know. I just think that I know that word, but I'm pretty sure it's when the bleach like bleeds. Anyway, so we pre-poked the holes. It ended up turning out really good. I'll tell you in a second, but we pre-poked the holes. We did the bleach. The mistake that we made last time was we didn't wash the bleach out before we took the cap off. And that hurt. I mean, it wasn't my head, but I could tell it hurt her to try and take the cap off of her head with all the highlights pulled through with bleach on it. You basically like pulled a bunch of her hair out. So this time we washed all the bleach off while the cap was still on her head. And we toned it while the cap was still on her head. And we toned it with some like purple shampoo type stuff, but it was like toner that we bought. Is L'Oreal brand. I can't remember what it's called. But there also was a toner that came with the kit, but we used that first because it was really freaking yellow. And then we took it off of her head. So we had And she already had a lot of blonde in her hair, so we took it off her head so that we could tone it with the toner that it came with, like, for her whole head. And so we did that after we had, like, rinsed out the first toner. Does that make sense? I hope you guys are following. I'm kind of lost myself, so hopefully you're following. But we put the toner it came with on, and it looked freaking good. Like, I combed through it, and I was like, wow, I want to do this on my head. Like, this looks so good. What we didn't think about was Kate's base color of her hair is a lot lighter than my base color. Like, my natural hair color is a lot darker than, not a lot darker, but it's darker than Kate's hair. And I didn't have, Kate only had, like, maybe 4 inches of growth before she was, like, completely blonde. So doing, like, the highlights just kind of blended into, like, this nice balayage. But I had, my hair is really grown out. I had, like, 8 inches probably of grow out before I had any blonde. And even then, I didn't have a ton of blonde in my ends. So we did the cap highlights. And I tried to do, like, this cute little money piece in the front. But the problem was I did that after we had put the bleach on all of the other highlights. And so it had a lot less time to process. And I washed it out at the same exact time. So we did the exact same steps we did with Kate. But once we got everything done and, like, the next morning I didn't blow dry my hair. I woke up and I was like, this looks like crap. Like, and it wasn't Kate's fault. It wasn't anything she did. Like, the hair that had been pulled out, like, it looked good for what it was. But the difference between my natural hair and the highlighted hair was just too, like, stark. It looked like tiger stripes. It was bad. So I was like, I can't handle this anymore. Oh, and my money pieces were, like, orange, and none of the toner would touch it because it wasn't light enough. Does that make sense? So what I probably should have done was go get a little bit more lightener, put it on the money pieces and brighten those up, and then do, like, a root smudge. But what I did instead was I went and got, like, the same color as my natural hair and just did a root smudge. And that looks really good, except for the money pieces. The money pieces are still, like, kind of orangey. No, I mean, they're not. Like, if you were to look at my hair, you wouldn't know that they were, I don't know, maybe you wouldn't know. Maybe I'm just gaslighting myself. But this is what Kate and Robbie both told me, was that you couldn't tell, but I was just being extra critical on my hair. So basically, I feel like I have a botched hair job now, and I'm scared. It doesn't look bad. It really, really doesn't look that bad, but it's just not perfect, which was what I'm used to. Like, when Mandy, my hair lady, when she would do my hair, it looked perfect every single time. But it was also kind of pricey, which I was willing to pay for, but I'm also, like, trying to, you know, cut some spending for this year. And so I was like, maybe if I could do this by myself and it looked okay, I'd be fine doing that. But I've learned my lesson. It looks okay for now. I'm going to give it, like, a while to grow out and that stuff before I go get it done by a professional. But next time, 100%, I'm doing it by a professional. And I kind of beat myself up because I haven't done my own hair in, like, over a decade. It's been a long time. I have always gone to a professional. I've resisted every time. And for whatever reason, I was dumb this time. And I was like, I can do it. And no. Anyway, so, and the funny thing is, before this even happened, I had a dream. I call it a nightmare because it truly was a nightmare. A couple nights before Kate had came to my house, where I had, like, this ugly pixie cut. People who know me from a long time ago knew I had a pixie cut at one point. It wasn't like that. It was, like, bald on the bottom, but, like, not bald, like, really close buzzed on, like, the bottom, like, from my ears down. And then, like, this long, ugly mop type thing on the top. And it was, like, tiger striped, like, black and white, but, like, not in a cute way. And kind of like this emo look. But the worst part was it was, like, pushed towards the front of my face. Like, it was, like, bangs. But when you push it away, I had, like, a cul-de-sac, like an old man receding hairline of just shaved head. And that was my dream. It was a nightmare. I woke up and literally touched my head because I was like, oh no. And I should have seen that as a premonition telling me not to do my own freaking hair because it was going to look like crap. So maybe that's the hairstyle I should do. Maybe I should just shave it into a pixie and shave a cul-de-sac on the top of my head. So I'll post pictures when I get that done. Okay, I think that's it for all I want to tell you guys for right now. We had a good Christmas. I hope everybody had a good Christmas. I hate traveling, but I love seeing my family, so it's worth it. And that's about it. Okay, let's dive into your stories here. Not really stories, your diary entries. Let's start with number one. Hold on, I'm trying to find my notes. Okay, right here. Dear diary, I have a best friend. Best is in quotations. I have a best friend who confuses the hell out of me. She'll go days without replying to my texts, making me feel like she doesn't care about me. But then will love bomb me when we do see each other. I couldn't live without you. You're the only one true friend, etc. I have a few other friendships and they don't seem this complicated, but I'm not sure if it's just her personality. I don't want to be dramatic and start a fight, but it really does bug me. Are adult friendships really this confusing? So I am interested in the way that you wrote best in quotation marks, because this makes me think, like, are you saying that because you don't feel like she's putting in as much effort? So she's like, quote unquote, your best friend. You know what I mean? Like, or is it like she's not really your best friend? She's just a close friend. Does that make sense? Either way, if it really was your best friend, like you're ride or die, your everything person, I don't think that their texting patterns would really matter to you that much. Like, I think that maybe you're feeling disconnected from this person and you like want a deeper connection with them. And so them not replying maybe in the ways that you want is bothering you, which is totally valid. But I also wonder if the reason she's love bombing you is because she also wants that connection, but she just maybe isn't great at texting or whatever. So she's kind of overcompensating when she does see you to make sure she doesn't lose you. Does that make sense? But this is hard to know when I don't know your dynamic with this friend, because it could just be a totally toxic relationship where she isn't invested. She's not putting forth the effort and it might just be time to let that friendship go, which is really hard. But I don't think that adult friendships should be hard at all. Like, my best friends, well, really, I have like one friend. My best friend, I don't even think about our texting patterns. Like, she could go hours without texting me back and I'm not like worried. What did I say something wrong? Blah, 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 blah. It's just easy with us. And I don't worry about, like, obviously I don't hurt her feelings on purpose. Like, we have a good friendship and I don't worry about things like that because we're both really secure. I think, I mean, I can't speak for her, but I feel very secure in our friendship and relationship. And so I don't think about our texting patterns or anything like that. It's just an easy friendship, which I think you should look for. Like, if this is really that hard and it's continuing to bug you, I really think maybe it's time to let that friendship go, which is way easier said than done, because maybe she's a really good friend, like when she is being present. And I'm not saying you should like stop being her friend, but maybe she's not your best friend. Does that make sense? Hopefully that makes sense. But also maybe you could talk to her about it. Like, if you really don't want to let this friendship go, just ask her, like, hey, I noticed you like don't reply to my texts very often and it makes me worried that like I said something wrong or I hurt your feelings or something like that. Like, don't necessarily go in accusing tone, just kind of ask her like what's up, or maybe she doesn't like texting, so maybe you could ask her if she'd rather, you know, talk on the phone or like, anyway, so maybe just ask her about it. And if she's kind of aloof about it, I would take that as a sign that she's not interested in being as committed or putting forth as much effort as you are. All right, next one says, dear diary, I've seen my grandpa naked. I went to his house one day, went upstairs to get him, and he was butt out walking around. He didn't see me, but it scarred me for life. Yeah, this would absolutely scar my eyeballs. Like, I would probably have to have a surgery to remove the scars off of my eyeballs because they would probably bleed at the side of my grandpa's butt. I don't even want to think about that. Ew. Anybody's butt, really, but like your grandpa? No, thank you. Thank the Lord he didn't see you, because if he did, that would probably mean that he was facing you, which would be 1,000. Actually, I hate it when people say 1,000% because it's not possible. 100% worse than seeing his butt would be seeing his front, you know. So, but my suggestion here is to gaslight yourself into thinking that it never happened, because then you can just be like, oh yeah, one time I thought I saw my grandpa's butt, but it didn't really happen. So I would just try doing that. And that's probably the only advice I have. Or maybe try like hypnotism or something. Or just removing your eyes surgically. And your brain. Okay, next one. Dear diary, my mother-in-law made ornaments with all of her kids' names and their dog, but didn't make me one. Should I feel left out? Yes, absolutely 100% you should feel left out. I would be so mad. Like her, like the dog. I know it's a family dog and like dogs are important to people, but hello, you are a physical human being who is married into the family and you matter. You matter. You're a part of the family. And so for her to leave you out almost feels intentional. Like you would think she had to have thought about not including you, right? Like I would be mad. I would be super mad. And I probably wouldn't say anything. I would say that I would say something, but in real life, I probably wouldn't say anything. And I would probably just be really mad and petty about it. So probably don't do that. Maybe that's the best choice. But yeah, I would be mad and I would definitely feel left out. So I do not blame you at all. But this does remind me of my brother. So I have two brothers, an older brother and a younger brother. My older brother is like almost a year and a half older than me. That doesn't really matter in the context of the story, but just to give you context of my siblings. Anyway, so one year we got ornaments from my grandma. She didn't make them. She bought them. And his said, man's best friend. And had like a room for a picture. It was a dog ornament, like a picture of you and your dog. So we always tease him about that. And then the funny thing is this year, my other grandma gave like our kids presents. So his daughter, and she gave him, his daughter, a dog toy, which is just funny because now that's twice that he's gotten, well, not him, but him gotten a dog thing for Christmas. So at least, actually, this might have been better if you're, no, it wouldn't have because she made them. And that would have been, she was saying that you're a dog and you're definitely not a dog. Anyway, do what you will with that information that I gave you. Maybe don't be petty about it, but that's probably what I would do. All right, next one says, dear diary, when is the right time to announce that you're pregnant? I found out I'm pregnant and part of me wants to tell my family right away. But another part of me is scared and doesn't want to tell anyone until I'm at least out of the first trimester, quote, just in case. Okay, first of all, congratulations that you're pregnant. That's so fun and exciting. And it's fun and exciting. I don't know what else I was going to say. But I will tell you a little bit about my pregnancies and what I did. And then I'll kind of tell you some other thoughts that I have. With my first baby, I waited until, I can't remember, actually. I think I just sent him, I know what I sent them. I made a little onesie that said grandma and grandpa or something like that. And then with the due date on it, on a little like calendar that I made, and sent it to him in the mail, and then told them to FaceTime me before they opened it, which was kind of a total dead giveaway, but it was still fun. And I did that for sure before I was out of the first trimester, but I was just excited about it. And then my second baby, I waited until we knew the gender, which was at 16 weeks, I think. And that was because my older brother, they just announced that they were having a baby and it was their first baby. And I didn't want to be like, oh yeah, by the way, I'm pregnant too. So we kind of waited a little bit, which was fine. I didn't really like feel the need to tell everybody right away. And yeah, so we waited until we knew the gender. And then my third baby was kind of a different scenario because I had really bad postpartum depression after my second baby. And I knew I needed a lot of like support from my family. Like my mom would come, and I knew we had talked about it, my mom and I, about having her come stay with me and like having some time off work or whatever to stay with us if I needed her to this time around. And like my sisters and stuff like that, we kind of were planning it out time wise, trying to time it in the right way. So basically I peed on the stick and I called my mom immediately. Actually, I think I might have texted my best friend first. Sorry, Mom. But
that's because that's what she did with me. Like, when my best friend got pregnant, she texted me immediately, and that was just kind of like what we were doing. So anyway, I don't remember which one I did first, but I did tell my mom immediately, down to what minute, I don't know. But I told her immediately, mostly because of the whole planning thing. Like, I wanted her to know so she had as much time as possible to take work off or whatever plan we needed to make. But every time I was pregnant, I was excited about it. And it sounds to me like you're excited about this pregnancy. And I didn't see any reason to not celebrate the pregnancy. Even in the back of my mind, I knew that it was possible to have a miscarriage. But in my mind, I was like, what is the point in like not being happy about this and not sharing it with people, like the people close to me anyway? Not that you have to share it with like a lot of people in order to celebrate it. You can celebrate it just with you and your spouse if that's what you want to do, or your partner. But I was like, what's the point in not celebrating in case it goes wrong? Because then I'll just have missed out on that opportunity to celebrate when it was going right. Does that make sense? Like, you don't know what's going to happen yet. So there's no point in kind of like being sad or holding back. Does that make sense? Because you can deal with it. And that makes it sound like it won't be hard, but it will be incredibly hard if you do miscarry. But what I'm saying is, like, you can cross that bridge when you come to it, and there's no point in not celebrating now. But that being said, what I meant by my thoughts after were, I understand there are people who like to have like a huge support system when they're struggling, and there's people who would rather have like some privacy and kind of deal with things more on their own. So I think that is the deciding factor on who you should tell and when you tell them. Because if you're the type of person who, like, say you do miscarry and you really think you need like a lot of people there to help support you, and you like people checking in on you a lot, then I would tell them like right away. But if you're the type of person who would rather not have people constantly asking you how you're feeling, like if something did happen and you were to miscarry, then I would probably keep it a little bit closer. Maybe not tell as many people. Maybe just tell your partner or your mom or whoever you feel comfortable asking you like how you're doing. Does that make sense? Hopefully that's good advice. But that's kind of how I would go forward with that. Okay, next one is, dear diary. Oh my gosh, I keep saying diary like with an L. Anyway, dear diary, WTF is wrong with me. I love my boyfriend more than anything, and I know I want to marry him. Then I think about the commitment that comes with marriage, and I freak the hell out. I'm 25, so it's not like I'm too young to get married. And he definitely is the one for me. I just get so nervous to be like, okay, now you have to be with this one person forever. No loving anyone else. No making those connections with anyone. It's just intimidating. Like, I get FOMO. That sounds dumb, but like, if I were to only live once, what if this isn't everything I wanted it to be? Now listen, I love my boyfriend. He is so driven and so handsome and everything I could ask for. I will get to be a stay-at-home mom with our kids. Like, my life is going to be so good. I think I just get overwhelmed because my parents divorced after 30 years and my dad is so happy with his new wife. And I'm like, what the hell? I thought him and my mom were soulmates. Like, am I going to ruin my whole future over my overthinking? We are also kind of in a stagnant phase because we could get engaged. So it's like awkward phase where you overthink and have all the time to question before you decide if you want to get married. And I do want to marry him. Okay. I just need to get this out so I stop thinking about it. Thanks for listening, diary. Okay. I have a lot of thoughts about this, so bear with me as I kind of work through it as I'm talking. I 100% know what you mean by getting FOMO. Like, when Robbie and I were first dating, I was like so scared to commit to him. I was scared of other people knowing that we were dating because I was like, what if I miss out on something, you know, or what if there's somebody else out there? And I think looking back in hindsight at it, I just didn't trust myself in knowing he was the right one. Like, I knew it in the back of my mind, but I also was scared and I didn't trust myself. And I think I would have saved myself a lot of heartache and a lot of questioning and a lot of time too of like worrying about things if I had just trusted myself. And I know that's not as easy as it sounds, but I think that you should trust yourself. Like, it sounds to me like you know this person is who you want to be with. And whether or not you marry them right now or in 5 years, I don't think that that matters. I think it's more important that you know that he's the right one for you. And like you mentioned, your parents were together for 30 years and then they divorced. I think, and I know that's scary, I don't have parents who are divorced, so I can't really speak a lot to this, but my thoughts are anything could happen. Like, you don't know what can happen in 30 years. Like, can you imagine guessing what's going to happen in 30 years? It's impossible. You have no idea. Like, 5 years ago, I would have never guessed that I was where I am right now. So I can't imagine in 30 years knowing what's going to happen. But if you, again, it comes back to trusting yourself. Like, you know, this is the right person for you. He feels that same way about you. It's, you guys are going to have to trust each other and you're going to have to trust yourself in knowing what to do in this situation. Let me think. Oh, one thing I was going to tell you about, and this is a little bit different, but hear me out. When we were deciding to have another baby, like a third baby, it was a hard decision because I feel like I had been kind of burned in the past, like with my postpartum depression. So maybe this is kind of similar to you seeing your parents be divorced. I like didn't trust myself to make that decision because I was so scared of the outcome. Like, I was theoretically or metaphorically is probably more the right word, scared my parents were going to get divorced. Like, I was scared I was going to have postpartum depression again. But when I was really thinking about it, I had to put that fear aside. And it's so much harder than it sounds. But I had to like really ask myself, taking the fear aside, what do I know? Like, I know I wanted to have another baby. And so I was like, what is stopping me? And truly the only thing that was stopping me was because I was scared. And so to me, it sounds like, you know, you want to be with this boy. You love him. The only thing that's stopping you is you being scared. And obviously I can't know that for sure because I'm only going off of what you wrote in, but I would try and do that. Try and sit and meditate maybe for a minute and try and just push the fear aside and think through it without the fear. Don't think about like, well, what if this happens? Because that's the fear talking. Like, think about the relationship, what you want in a partner, and whether or not this person that you're with has that. So anyway, I want you to know that you got this. You're smart. You know what you want. You can trust yourself, and good luck. And if this advice ruins your life, then it didn't come from me. All right. Next one is, dear diary, my year started out so hard at work, but recently has turned a corner. I love what I do, and I feel like I'm making a difference, which is so important to me. This makes me so happy. Okay, this is the energy I want to bring into 2025, and I hope that you bring this energy for yourself and that this momentum follows you and you have an amazing year this year as well. Next one. Dear diary, why do I never give myself as much credit or compliments as other people do? I feel like people are constantly telling me nice things about myself and I just do not believe them. This one was, I was trying to think of like good advice and things to say, but when it comes down to it, I really struggle with this as well. And I think a lot of people do. And I think a lot of it stems from imposter syndrome. Like, we just never feel like we're good enough, even if we are doing it and there's evidence of us being good enough. It's just so hard to believe that because we don't tell ourselves that we're good enough. Does that make sense? And I think like one of the best ways to remedy this is positive talk. That's not the word. What's the word? Hold on. Let me look at my notes. Yeah. Speak positively to yourself. So like push aside the negativity, the negative thoughts, the doubt. And this will have to come with practice. And you may even feel like you're lying to yourself for a while, but just tell yourself like, I am good enough. I am working hard. Like, I am beautiful. I am hot. I am a good mom. And what I try and do, like when I feel, for example, specifically with being a good mom, this just made me think of it. When I feel like I'm a bad mom, I list things that are opposite of that. So like, instead of dwelling like, oh, I'm a bad mom because I don't do enough of this or I do too much of this, blah, 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 I think of like, oh, I am a good mom because I play with my kids. I make them laugh. They make me laugh. Like, I like teaching them. I like hearing them tell me something good that happened in their day, like those kind of things, you know, mom wins. And so maybe just try and tell, like, if someone gives you a compliment and they're like, you look really beautiful today, instead of being like, no, I don't. I look ugly because my teeth are yellow and my hair is messed up, blah, blah, blah. Like, try and tell yourself, like, I am beautiful because, you know, I brushed my teeth for the first time in a week, or I really like my outfit today, or I really like the color of my eyes, things like that. And don't try not to focus on the things, like, try not to make a list in your head of the things that you hate or the things that are opposite of whatever that compliment was. Does that make sense? And I'm also practicing that. So this is a good reminder to me of speaking kindly to myself. Okay, this is the last one that I have time for today. So if I didn't get to yours, I'm sorry. I will try and get to it next time. Okay, dear diary, I'm struggling so much to feel any kind of connection to anyone. I know there are people who love me, but it's so freaking hard. I have no friends, and the friends I thought I had don't speak to me. I feel invisible to everyone except my kids, and all they want me for is snacks. Okay, this one was also hard for me to kind of come up with some feedback, I guess, or to comment on, because I can't say like I know exactly how you feel, because I don't think anybody can know exactly how other people feel. But I do feel like I felt similar to this. Like, I just felt like I'm drowning and nobody cares enough to like send me a life jacket. You know what I mean? They're just like, you can figure out how to swim on your own. But I'm telling you, you don't have to do that. You can, I think the biggest thing you can do is just to let people know how you're feeling. And if they're not listening, tell someone else. There are people in your life that will listen to you. Like, if you feel like your spouse isn't listening to you, call your mom or call your sister. Or you said that you have friends that don't talk to you. I bet if you told one of them, they would take you seriously and they'd be like, I didn't know that you felt this way. And you know what I mean? Like, it's important to tell the people around you how you're feeling, especially when you're feeling vulnerable and scared and like you are invisible, because you're not invisible. And there is purpose in life and you deserve to be happy. But I know, like, it seriously feels like drowning when you're in the thick of motherhood. And it really feels like sometimes all your kids want you for is snacks. And then it feels like all anybody wants you for is for this or for this or for this. And you have to think about, like, what do you want you for? You know, what makes you happy? Like, and even just the really simple things in life. Anyway, that was probably a lot of mumble jumbo nonsense, but I am so, so sorry that you're feeling this way. If you feel comfortable, you can reach out to me. I love talking to people about anything, really. And if you just need someone to talk to, reach out to me. I would love to talk to you. If you're close to me and you know you're close, I'm not going to tell you where I live, but we can hang out. We can do something. Okay, thank you all for listening to this episode today. Hopefully it wasn't just a bunch of rambling nonsense. Hopefully you got something out of it. Make sure you tell your friends, share this podcast on social media. That is the best way to grow the podcast. It's the best way to let people know about it. And I would really, really appreciate it if you share it on your story, the like Instagram post that I put with this episode, and tag me in the story. I would love you so much. And I'm starting from scratch. I'm not going off of the Call Your Sisters previous podcast feed. So if you could go and leave a 5-star rating and review, I would love that so much. So thank you guys, and have a great day, and go write something in your diary. Love you. Bye.